Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. I seek refuge with Allah against the rejected enemy, Shaitan. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment, thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not rare, those who go not astray. Amen. bear witness, there is no God except Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Khaliq, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all between. No partners have he. And I bear witness Muhammad of 1445 Ramadan. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Is Allah's servant and messenger and the seal of the prophethood. I greet you and us with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to this evening session of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio, the number one listening radio station in the nation. And I am your host, Dapreeza Abdul Hadi, servant of Allah, highly glorified is he, Al-Hadi, the guide. And as always, we open with hugs and love to you. Oh, come on now, let's get a tight squeeze. We haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks. I know, and I miss you all as well. Oh, squeeze me. Oh, I'm squeezing your back. Inshallah, I'm feeling your love, and inshallah, you're feeling my love. Back to you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, we're still in the seventh month, but we are vastly approaching the end of the seventh month, which now we're continuous to be in the month of Rajab, the seventh month on the Islamic calendar, a Hijra calendar. And today is the 22nd day of Rajab, 1445. And February the 3rd, wow, we're moving on, 2024 on the Gregorian calendar. New year, new year, new year. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all with good health and prosperity in this year and beyond. But this year of 2024 that we're actually here to see. And we're saying in our motto for the year of 2024, if any of us are stressed or stressing in or on any matter, then our motto for this year is, let it go in 2024. Utilizing the Quran. Yes, we have to always have the Quran and utilizing it to help us through whatever situations and whatever the circumstances are. We must utilize the Quran. We must free ourselves, as was said, as the motto of the of a man, my dear friend Mark Shahidi said, "Set yourself free in 2023." We'll see how this just goes on into 2024. So you had to kind of, you know, release it, you know, and say, "Hey, I'm getting rid of it in 2023." But hey, now Allah has blessed us with 2024. And so doing the same, we're utilizing the Quran, but we're going to totally release it. We're going to totally let all of that is, you know, bugging us or stressing us, you know, having us all stressed out and stuff like that, you know, we're like, nope, that's the end of it. We set ourselves free in 2023, and we letting it go in 2024. Utilizing the Quran. Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited. And I know you are too. And consistency. I'm trying to think, was it something where you know, if I've been blessed to have a birthday, and some of you out there may have been blessed right the same. I had my birthday in January, you know, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to take off a little time. It's that I actually spend some time with my family. You know, I had things going on, moving there. Some of my family has moved here thinking that they, you know, wanted to stay and stuff like that, but was missing, you know, her children and grandbabies and stuff like that. And she's like, well, what, I want to do this. And I'm like, girl, go home. I say, go. We, you know, I'm always glad, and I know you all are as well, always glad to have your siblings close by. It's a really beautiful thing when you can do that. However, if we're moving to somewhere just to, you know, depending on the fact, oh, I'm there with my siblings, and my siblings is going to, like, be there, you know, like every day, or, you know, come around all the time and everything, and not that we don't want to, but, you know, we do have very busy lives. All of us lead very busy lives. And so I said to my sister, so we had to spend some time with each other. And I told her, don't be feeling one. It's only three of us left of girls, you know. It's three boys. I mean, it's three girls and two boys. And mom, dad, and the two boys has returned to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah bless them with the paradise, mercy and forgiveness, and bless them with the paradise. So it's just the three of us left, and I was saying to her, I said, because the other sister's like, oh, you know, she's like, you need to stay here, and just talking all that stuff, you know. And I told her, I said, she is the middle girl, and I'm the oldest, and the one that wanted her to tell me she needs to just stay here is the one that's never in town herself. However, I said to my sister, I said, girl, I said, you got your grandbabies there. First of all, you got your sons, your daughters, and she got grandsons and granddaughters, and, you know, and been there with them for the last, at least for the last 15 years. And then she's going to try to move back here, and I thought that was, we really appreciate it, but, baby, if you're feeling like that, you should go back. You should go back, and inshallah, you bless us. We need to see each other and, you know, come together with each other. You know, before our returning to him, we will. He'll bless us with that. So I told her, and so she felt so much better, and she told me, she said she really appreciated that I understood where she was coming from. And I said, oh, no problem, because me, that's what I do. You know, I tried that moving away from, I have three sons and my grandbabies here in Michigan, where I'm at, Flint, Michigan, as a matter of fact. And I tried moving away too. And I said, honey, I said, oh, Allah, spending what the Allah, if you bless me to get back home with my family, I'll never try this again. And I meant it. I meant it. And he blessed me to come back with my family. And like I always told him, I said, you know, we don't have to live next door to each other, across the street from each other, though it wouldn't be a problem. But I'm just saying we don't have to be that close, but, it, you know, in proximity. But I would like us to be close enough that we can, you know, in a couple of minutes or so, less than a half an hour, get to one another should we actually really need a situation come up, we really need to get there. So, alhamdulillah, Allah was most kind. He is. Allah, highly glorified is he, is Al-Ruf. Al-Ruf, the most kind. And so he was so kind in blessing me once I made that decision to move away and realize that I needed to be back here with my family. He blessed me to come back, and alhamdulillah, thank him so kindly. Okay, so I wanted to share that, and I had a beautiful, beautiful birthday time, and all my family, you know, were together, and it was just beautiful, you know, and So I know, like I say, if any of you have had a birthday since the last time we met, mine was in January 19th, but if you had a birthday and you want to share the good time that you had on your birthday, you can always press 1. We'd love to hear about it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So tonight we're going to continue discussing our topic on establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to be learning more about the 99 known names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be reciting some of those names as well as we're in our reading, inshallah. Also, tonight, I have, you know, we did establish, it hasn't been much activity on it, but it still exists. You remember we were talking about life reflections, you know, so it still exists. And I do want to read an article of vital importance for us as, guess what, coffee drinkers. So I do want to share that article with us as well in tonight's presentation of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab. Alhamdulillah. So with that, we're going to go on and take our first pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And then we'll come back and we'll get started, inshallah. Let me see. Inshallah, we'll get back. Okay, so what am I doing here? Stop it. You know, stop trying to act up. Okay, you are listening to Alice Simon Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, Dafritha Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information, and we ask you to stick and stay. Please do not go away. Go, and we will be right back. And I appreciate you so kindly for tuning in, and I'm glad I'm back, inshallah. Just hang on. Okay, here we go. Now, you know I like to open up with this one here, so we're going to do that.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Dafritha Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back, and wa alaikum assalam. And just a reminder now, First of all, I want to thank you all here in the studio for being here. And we want to thank you out there on AM360.org land and being here as well. And just want to remind those that are in AM360.org land, should you desire to come inside the studio where we're at and ask a question or make a comment, then you're going to need to dial in. And you're going to do that by dialing in at 515-605-9891. Or also, you can dial in at 425-292-4253. And press 1 once you come into the studio, and I'll see that you're in here and you have a question that you or a comment that you want to make, and we'll certainly give you that opportunity. We want to encourage you to connect with us with our 24-hour live and podcast programming also at am360.org, or you can dial at 701-719-4197. And we want to encourage you to visit our parent corporation, Community-Wide Share Conference, at cwsc.us. That is the website for CWSC, and on there you'll get a lot of information about the intelligentsias of CWSC and much more information regarding those intelligentsias under the law. Also, if you'd like to send us an email, you can also do that at info, that's I-N-F-O, at cwsc.us. Yes, remember, .us, that is us. And that's info at cwsc.us, and you can leave us an email. You can give us a like on Facebook. You can tweet us at CW Shira, or you can also leave us a listener comment at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to connect with us, we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate you kindly. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let's see here. Let's get here into the information. I thought about it's a program to come on. It's about personal injury, and it's a personal injury attorney. And when you get all of the, you know, the introductions in and everything, he said, okay, now let's get into the legal sauce. So we're gonna get into. It won't be legal sauce, but we will get into the learning sauce of this particular presentation. I'm good at lie. Okay, we're going to start out with, like we said, we're continuing to discuss our establishing our relationship. And, you know, it's got so much information that we can utilize in terms of just putting our minds and our hearts and our soul and our spirit into actually understanding our Lord and cherish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, establishing our relationship. So as new believers, and as seasoned believers, new Muslims and seasoned Muslims. And as you notice, I said new believers and seasoned believers because not all believers, as you know, are not Muslims, not necessarily Muslims like having taken the Shahada. But they are Muslim because they submit their wills to Allah, but they've chosen to be of the Christian or Jewish belief or faith, and that's fine. But they want to know more about Al-Islam, and so it's for them as well. We want them to know they are our brethren and they are included in our presentations throughout the Islamic platform, you know, that we're having, such as one that we're having right here. And there's others as well. So as the new shahadas, season shahadas, we now know that practicing al-Islam and learning al-Asma'ul Husna gives us insight into the word, will, and way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know it's very important and imperative to have this type of an understanding in order to, you know, get in there and really work with this relationship, you know, that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking to have with him. This helps us to see. Yeah, I said see. Now, we're not putting him down on, not putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in no shape, form, or fashion, you know, where we can like, oh yeah, Allah, I'm seeing you sit right there, because, you know, we can't even do that. But it does allow us to see, hear, feel, and understand and relate to him. I don't know, you know, I think I said to you, and you know what? Since that time, there's been another time as well. But as you get in touch, as you study al-Asma'ul Husna, and we get into seeing, hearing, and feeling, and understanding, and relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm telling you, you'll see, you'll understand. You will actually hear him when he speaks to you. I'm for real. Because, again, remember I told y'all about the situation. I had lost an item, and I was sitting down, and all of a sudden, you know, Allah said, get up and go do this. And I'm like, oh, I was finna do something else. But I heard the voice. I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me, get up and go do this. And so I'm like, okay, I'm studying al-Asma'ul Husna. And so I'm getting in tune. I'm learning, but I'm getting in tune, you know. And I'm like, you know, how you do when you hear something and you be like, you know how that your ears get very like keen, like, you know, like they be pointed up like, oh, what's that? And then you just get right up and get to it. And sure enough, it just goes to show right there that in my studying al-Asma'ul Husna, which is the 99 known beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he says in the Quran to call on him of those beautiful names. And when I'm telling y'all, when I heard that and I got up and I followed through, and in my following through, honey, it was just what I said, oh, Allah, thank you so kindly for blessing. Actually, I said, oh, Allah, Wajid. Al-Wajid is one of his beautiful names and attributes. And that is Allah highly glorified as he is, it relates in terms of English, the finder. The finder. Now we already know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he don't have to find anything. So let's get that clear. But he gives us the information to find. Because see, remember, he's al-Basir. He's the all-seeing, al-Alim, the all-knowing. See, oh, he already got all, hey, he already know about it. We're the ones that's in suspense about, well, where is it at, or what step should I make, you know? So when we're listening out for him and he says move, then we get up and move, and then the results be, you know, just what we were asking for. we'd be like, oh my God, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're so good to us, you're so kind to us. And he was, and I had called on him, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wajid. Now you remember this here too, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, he sends down like revelation in measures, right? Well, the same thing in terms of when he gets ready for us to do, you know, when it's his will for us to get up and move out on something right then and there, we might say, well, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to find this particular something that I have misplaced. And so, you know, some people would think, well, and sometimes it might be, but we have to remember too, he does his movements about, he grants us with, as his servants, as he wills, and in his time. So it had been a while. I had called on him for this particular item that I had misplaced, but you know what? I didn't get impatient. And I didn't go every day studying, where's it at, Allah help me back. I had already asked him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, in Hadith, say, tell my servant, I am as they think I am. Tell my servant, I am as he expects I am, and that when he calls on me, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us as his servant, and when we call on him, he answers us, and he gives us which we ask for, and then he goes on to be more generous, which is Al-Kareem, the most generous. He is Allah, highly glorified is he, Al-Kareem, the most generous. And he goes on to say, not only does he give his servant what he asks for, but he gives his servant what he wants. Isn't that just wonderful? You know, I'm telling you, just keep studying. That's all I can tell you. Keep studying Al-Asma ul-Husna, and you're going to understand what I'm feeling right now, because you're going to feel the same thing. You're going to feel it. It's going to be such a, I want to say like a rush, you know, how you be like, you're so, you know what I can tell you? It's like what Allah says in the Quran of his servant, we are in awe of him, and that's exactly what it is. It's that rush of awe that we have of him and how he is just so giving and so sustaining, you know, to us as his servants. So we now know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Khaliq, the creator, and he is Al-Muqit, the sustainer, the one who maintains, takes care of his creation through this Al-Asma ul-Husna. Okay. And our responsibility to establishing the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to make it a strong and important relationship. We want to make it an essential aspect in our constant memory. Oh, yeah, constant. We want to contemplate and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about having a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He talks to us and let us know what he requires of us, he expects of us, you know, as his servants. Because that's the very reason that we were actually even having existence our own. Because we came into existence to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh. And that's such a wonderful thing that, don't make me cry now, because I'm just telling you, because some people didn't necessarily get that opportunity to understand that their purpose is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? So to know this, it's like it's such an honor, such an honor to be able to glorify and worship and praise him. Yes. Don't give me the shout no here, y'all, because you know I will. I know you're feeling this excitement. You have to be, because just the very mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about an intense excitement, because we know somewhat what to expect in the fact that we're learning, but guess what? We also don't necessarily know what to expect, because he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just got so many expected and unexpected blessings for us. So, and that's what keeps us like in this awe, that's the AWE, you know, of him, you know. So we want to make our relationship strong and important. We want to make it an essential aspect in our constant memory. We want to contemplate and understand what our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Khaliq, says about having a relationship with him. We must understand the nature and requirements. Yeah, there's a requirement of our establishing a relationship with them. Well, we can't just sit up there and say, oh, Allah, I want to have a relationship with you. And we're so busy doing other things. You know, it actually takes some actually attentiveness, you know, and being there, being present. You know how sometimes you can be somewhere, you might be there physically, but you're not really present. Yeah, so we have to be present when we are establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the requirements is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified as he alone. Because as we know, he has no partners anyway. And nobody that we got to go through to get to him. We want to do that. So the requirement is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And as one of my dear friends, he always says, he says, and not only to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to believe him. Not just to believe in him or that he exists, but believe in him. And you know what? Studying Al Asma ul Husna, that's the icing on the cake, I would like to say. And you know, I like cake. I like it with icing too. Not that my hips necessarily need it, but I'm only kidding, everybody. But to believe. And so if he says, Or when he says, we can call up on him by these beautiful names, the beautiful attributes of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will hear him. See, we're going to hear him like I was when I was sitting there. And then after that, there was something else that taken place very similar. But when we heard him speak, we didn't set that to mind. Oh, what? Well, maybe I'll check it out a little bit later or something. Did it come? No. When we hear him speak, we know it's him speaking. And so we up. We immediately move out on that. And so that's keeping him in constant memory and contemplating and understanding what he is saying about having our relationship with him. So the requirement is to believe in him alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in him alone, and to believe him, and to testify that there is no one has the right to be worshipped We ain't worshiping nobody else and nothing else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love putting emphasis on our, you know, our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say, yeah, that's right. That's what he say, and that's what you gotta do. Oh, well, now, I mean, you know, you don't have to because, you know, Allah gave us, you know, that will, and you can say, well, I want to or I don't want to, but I strongly recommend, I strongly suggest and recommend that we do. And so, and I just like to go on and say that we actually have to do this because when you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's no problem if he said that you had to do it and you didn't have no other choice. It would be okay. It'll be just fine. Because just know everything will work out in your favor when you go that way. When you just go with Allah, him alone, you ain't even got to worry about it. You don't even have to worry about it. It's some people say, it's a done deal, you know. So the requirement is to testify that there is no God except Allah, to believe in him and him alone, and to believe him, and that Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger and the seal of the prophethood. To perform our prayers, which we have 5 to do, and if you can do any more, do them too. But at least the 5 obligatory prayers, those are the 5 that has been prescribed. Now, I know you know, some of your seasoned Muslims might be out there like, oh, we already know. And I'm so, alhamdulillah, you're absolutely right, and we appreciate you so kindly for your patience while we share with our new brethren, new shahadas, and new believers in these requirements that we already know about and we're already practicing. Well, remember that they are just coming in, and we want to welcome them with open arms, and we want to be patient with them, and we want to let them know everything that we know as a requirement to help them to be the best Muslims that they can be and the best servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they can be. So it's not ever to say that seasoned Muslim doesn't know. I'm talking to them like, oh, you don't know. But I'm basically speaking to everyone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's okay for us as seasoned Muslims to be reminded, and if we already know it. And it's certainly okay for us to learn more because we don't know everything. But we mainly speaking up to the new shahadas and the new believers. So to testify that there's none have the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger, to perform the prayers, to pay zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, which you know already now. We got about a month away? We got about a month away, and then we'll be, this is February? Yeah. And the tentative date that I'm seeing for the month of Ramadan 2024 is March 11th. And, of course, you know that's depending on the sighting of the moon, but at least we know it is coming up in March. We are in February, so we got about a month away to, you know, to continue to prepare ourselves. And one of the other responsibilities and obligations of the Muslim is to fast during the month of Ramadan and to pay the required religious obligation, religious obligation to pay the acquired 20% of their acquired wealth. And it says from certain sources, and I went on to see, they're talking about like, you know, the spoils of war, you know, like when there's a war and you get all that, you know, the good things and stuff that come out of, that was left behind and stuff like that, that you have a right to obtain and of those things, that would be 20% of their acquired wealth from certain sources, and it just gave an explanation of spoils of war. And that believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes implementing all of the obligations Allah has placed upon us, as well as believing in everything that he has sent down, which includes all other aspects of faith, all of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about through his books, his messengers, his prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And once we appreciate it, all that remains is to struggle with the forces within and without ourselves, realizing we are establishing this vital relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, our colleague, the creator, and calling on him by his beautiful names. Also, in our studying of the Al-Asma ul-Husna, come across so much, and I'm telling you, you can get so much information. It just, I'd be saying, oh Allah, please help me to organize it, because it's so much. And again, like I say to you all, I'm learning too. I'm learning. So I got to learn this information and be able to understand it so I can come and disseminate it in my presentation on this program. So Al-Asma ul-Husna, which are the 99 known beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has two components. Now, I just learned this, so it has an intellectual component and a spiritual component of Al-Asma ul-Husna. The intellectual component speaks to the foundational questions of how we know that there are divine names. How do we know how many there are, and where does this list come from? And these are the intellectual components of information that will be addressed. Now, the spiritual component then explores the possible purpose behind the divine names and introduces us to the classification structure to the classification structure speculated by some of the scholars. And then we take some examples of the divine names from each category of the classification to explore their spirituality and beauty. Now, you want to know something? I'm still asking a lot of help me, because I did some, you know, some research and stuff, and I'm still trying to put it how to, you know, to present it and everything, because like I say again, I have to put it in a context where I'm understanding it, so that when I'm sharing it with you, I can give you the understanding of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to see. And if you get more out of it, alhamdulillah, because just what I've learned doesn't mean that that's the end of it. No, but you know, I'm just sharing what I've learned, and then maybe you'll get something more out of it, and you can share that with us as well. So in exploring the spirituality and beauty of and structure of the spiritual components of Al-Asma ul-Husna, we explore the tone, the tones of the Arabic structure, we explore that, as well as the differences between similar names and what those differences may apply. Alhamdulillah. I tell you, the time is just fine. Okay, that's my grip. Yep, that's my grip coming in. Y'all know how I feel about it. Are you hearing? I believe you're hearing the call coming in. So if we just be patient, we're going to let the prayer call. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So we know that the spiritual component explores the purpose behind the divine names and introduces us to the classification structure. If we get into that, we're going to get into that. I've already begun to explore it, you know, but I've not put it in actual, you know, it's just, we'll get to it. We're going to get to that, inshallah. Okay, so we'll take some examples of the divine names from each category of this classification, explore their spirituality and beauty. The tones of Arabic structure are explored, as well as the differences between similar names and what those differences may. Now, also, let me tell you, as I'm studying, they have this particular instructor, because I'm taking this class like through this particular instructor. It's a it's like a little mini quiz or something, you know, like he would give. And so this is in the introduction of these divine 99 divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or 99 known divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the question that they ask, and I want to see. I would appreciate so kindly. I'm gonna tell you. I only know this particular one because the answer to it, because I had read it some time ago, and I remember it. Okay, so for some of you may have read and you may know, and some of you may have not yet read and don't know, and you'll get the answer today. So this is one of the questions. Then we're gonna move. I'm gonna move on. I think I was going to try to do two of the questions. I'm thinking I was going to try to do two, but let's do this one right here. Now, remember, we're studying Al Asma ul Husna, and the two aspects of it is the intellectual component and the spiritual component. And as part of the intellectual component, this was the questions that were asked, the question that was asked. So I'm not going to give you the answer. I would appreciate that if you know the answer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time waiting on you to put the one on the board down, but I will give you an opportunity that this was the question. This is the first question. It says, so where do we find evidence for the number 99 with regards to the number of divine names? Okay. And it says, did we find it in the Quran? Did we find it in Sunan? Abu Dawood is one of the companions that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, present peace of Allah be upon him, and was it Sunan Abu Dawood, Sahih Bukhari, or Sunan and Nasi? Where did we find evidence for the number 99 with regards of the number of divine names? Was it the Quran? Was it Abu Dawood? Was it An-Nasi? Or was it Sahih Bukhari? Now, I'm going to go to my board. You know what? I'm going to go to my board. Where am I at right here? I'm going to go to my board. And if you know, then you can press 1 and you can let me know. And if you want, okay, we got a smart one here. I love you too. Okay, we're going to go to 312-399. Welcome to Alice Lyman Focus. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Sharifa Muhammad Sharifa, Mount Vernon, New York.
Well, alaikum assalam to you, my love. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How are you, the preacher?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good, and thank you so kindly for asking, and it's so good to hear your voice. Yes, ma'am, what you got to share with us, young lady?
My answer
to your question.
Oh, my
yes,
answer
ma'am.
To your question about where to find, I'm not sure
yes,
the exact
ma'am.
Words. I say the connection to the attribute, the 99th attribute.
Yes, ma'am.
Of Sabir. I'm thinking of Surah 103, Asr.
Okay, let me give you those alternatives to where it could have been found here. Let me see what I say. I think okay, so it's asking, say, did we find evidence of the 99 a number of 99 beautiful names in the Quran or Sunan Abu Dawood or Sunan An-Nasi or Sahih Bukhari? Those are
the
four. You say Quran?
Yes.
You're such a sweetheart. You're such a sweetheart. And, you know, I can relate to that very much so. I can relate to that because that was my first answer, too. When I first back, you know, come back time ago, I'm like, yeah. But, You just hang on. You're going to hear.
Okay.
We got another student here on the line, and he's gonna give us, I want to see what he says, too.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll 314. Press 1 and exit out.
Excuse me?
I'll press 1 and exit out of the queue.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. 314-833. Welcome to Alice Lyman Focus. Assalamu alaikum and state your name where you calling from, Brother Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, the priest Abdul Hadi, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio. And I want to just say Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. And an interesting question that you asked, and most people probably would respond like that. I want to give some commentary on why that would not be in the Quran as such. You would find that in Hadith, and generally speaking, we look at Hadith in terms of their ranking, in terms of sound or firm, and the ones that generally are looked up on in terms of getting information or more trusted would be Sahih al-Bukhari and also Muslim. So Bukhari is one of the answers, so I would go with Sahih Bukhari. Imam Bukhari.
Alhamdulillah, you're such a gem. I appreciate you all so much.
And I want to say this: if in fact if we think about it, as we read the Quran, and we should read it often, and most certainly during the month of Ramadan, it should be the goal to complete the Quran. The 99, as you said, al-Asma al-Usna, is talking about the 99 known most beautiful names of Allah. So Allah have many ayats in the Quran in terms of calling upon him with those beautiful names, but it doesn't specifically give a number. Allah gives like the framework for many things. You know, even when it comes to like wudu, Allah says how it is that we can make wudu, how we can make tayammum, but to get it as we would actually perform, in that we have to go to the Sahih Hadith, the tradition of the Prophet, in regards to how to do that. I'm just giving this as example in terms of why the Hadith, the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, as we say, Sunnah, during the life and time of the Prophet is so very important, because it is a vital part of the religion of Al-Islam in terms of actually the rituals and how they perform and everything in that regard. So I just want to to say that, because Allah would not tell us that I got 99 actually, just think about it. Only Allah is speaking in the Quran. So Allah just gives it to us in a general way that he answers to all the beautiful names. But Allah does not, and this is very important, so you're in the learning lab, please take note. Allah does not, he does not define all of the attributes. You see, this is very important. When you define, think about the word define, and as a wordologist, think about the word confine. If you define something, then you confine it to how you define it or your definition of it. We can, Imam W.D. Muhammad, our scholarly teacher and leader, he taught us that you can only know Allah in an indirect way. That's very important. So those of your students, if you're new Shahadas, or if you're seasoned Shahadas, as the priest of Hadi like to say, you need to take note to that. We can only know Allah in an indirect way, you know, indirect. And we can know Allah through his handiwork in his natural creation, and we get to know Allah in his revelation, in what he reveals to us about him. This is how these became 99 known. You have to use known. I've said that on this production for a couple of years at least, and I'm still waiting on everybody to really ingest it and digest it. Known. There are other attributes that man has not uncovered nor discovered, is still uncovering and discovering in Allah's vast creation in terms of Allah. We can only know him in an indirect way, not directly through his handiwork, which is the natural creation, the natural world, or some people say the universe, but even universe is too small because they haven't been able to even be able to say where time starts and where time ends, where space starts and where space ends. But Allah is al-Khaliq. He's the creator of time and space, and he's not of anything that he has created. And if, in fact, if we follow the logic and take it to its logical conclusion, As Imam Muhammad once asked us on the first Sunday I was present, and when he asked the question, he said, if I ask you where does space start, and then I ask you where does space end, if you tell me space ends here, I'm going to ask you what's on the other side of that. And it just kind of blew the people's mind away, because you cannot say, even with the high-power telescopes that they have made, they're not able to see a dark hole. They can't see where space ends.
Mm-hmm.
So if Allah is the creator of time and space, and you can't see where space starts nor ends, how do you think you're going to see Allah with the five senses? You can't. You only can see his handiwork in the natural creation. You can only see, if Allah bless you with the insight and wisdom, to see what Allah reveals to the human being in regards to him. Because in his word, and the final word of revelation, particularly because it hasn't been tampered with, Allah has protected this final revelation. In his word is embodied his will and his way. And that's the guidance that we ask for in Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, in asking Allah for guidance and guiding us on the straight path. The straight path in every aspect of our life as human beings. And Allah gives it to us, as you say. He is so generous. He's so compassionate. He is so kind to us. And we have to know that he's all knowing. He's Al-Alim. He's all-seeing. He's Al-Basir. He's Al-Samit. He is all-hearing. He's Al-Hakim. He's all-wise in that regard. So we can never know Allah in his essence or any of those things in totality. We can only know Allah in an indirect way. So it would not be in the Quran. It would not be. 99 is a number. This thing. We actually have had people that live to be 99 years old. We can't. So when you give definition, it becomes a confinement or a limitation. Anytime you can define something, you see, that means that there's a limitation to what it's doing. Even if we define the human being, what is being human? Homo sapien, thinking human being. This is definition that said these are the qualities and characteristics of the human being. And we can look at things in creation and can actually, Allah has given us the aql, the intellect, to be able to extrapolate from his natural creation, which is a mercy, but also a blessing to us in that we'll be able to utilize this as a benefit that God has given to us as Rahman, the most merciful benefactor. I could go on and on in regards to this, but this is an easy question for Mark Shaheed. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Now, and I appreciate you so kindly, Brother Mark. And that is correct. That is correct. Locate that in Sahih Bukhari. Because in my first learning of Al-Asma'ul Husna, and it was called Al-Asma'ul Husna because there is a mention of some in the Quran, but because but they are combined in one place, and that's where the 99 come from, that they are combined in one place. In the Sahih Bukhari. That is correct. But I thank you so much, Sister Aretha, for coming in. I just love you. And Brother Mark, you know I do. But wait a minute, I got one more now. Yeah, I got one more just for the day, just one more. Okay, here's the next one. Now, remember, we're talking about the intellectual component. This is where we're still talking about the intellectual component of the Al-Asma'ul Husna. And this particular one was which of the following surahs mentions the divine names? And would it be Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Baqarah, Surah Araf, or Surah Anfal? Which of the following surahs mention the divine names? Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Baqarah, Surah Araf, or Surah Anfal? I should have gave the English to those, but I'm sorry. Anybody can answer it. Anybody can answer it. Come on now. I love it that, you know, you all are listening and participating here. I really do appreciate that. So anyone else, and Rita or you, if you know it, you can say it. If you know it, Mark, you can. And anybody else want to come in and tell me what you know, hey, let's do this. Let's do it. I appreciate it. Wa alaikum as-salam.
This is Sister Sharifa again. So I don't have an answer to the surahs that you mentioned, but I do have, I was looking at Surah 59 El-Hasr, the mustering, and it does mention several of Allah's names. Of the attributes
in Ayat 22
through
24. And that's Surah
Hasha? Yeah.
That's 59, you say?
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
Ayat
22
through 24.
Would you like to just take a shot at the answer here? And you say that was 59, 24, 25?
Right. Surah 59, Ayat 22 through 24. It does mention several of Allah's attributes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And
okay,
also
so
the most beautiful name in Ayat 24.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so it says, which of the following surahs mentions the divine names? And it gave Surah Fatiha, Surah Baqarah, Araf, or Surah Anfal? Okay. Let me see if anybody else raised their hand here. Okay. Okay, Brother Mark, you know if you're in there, that's fine. It's not?
Yes, Lord.
Okay.
You should maybe give him a little help there. Give him a little help there, priest. At least give a number
and
the English translation.
Okay, I'm going to give a little help. It is not Surah Fatiha.
No, we know it's not Fatiha. No, go ahead.
It's either Surah Baqarah, Surah Araf, or Surah Anfal. And the answer is Surah Araf. Surah Araf. Let me see what that surah is. Let me see if I got it.
Yeah, so that would have been, no, only thing I'm saying is that, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but I think that for us on the Learning Lab, it would always be good. It's good to give the Quranic Arabic a term, but it's also good to give the expression or what that would be in English and also the number, you know, that the number. Because when you're disseminating information, I think it's very important in being a Learning Lab that there's some, just like our beloved sister, Sister Muhammad just called in. I can tell that she's a student and she's reading the Quran. So we may have other students that are listening in, and they can go and do some independent study. They can go to that surah And they can go to that ayah because they know that that's Surah 59. They know that that's Surah 2. They know that that's Surah 4 or whatever it is in that regard. So I just a suggestion.
Yes. And okay, and you're absolutely right, Brother Mark, and I would definitely make sure from now on I put that right in there. But I do know that Surah 7 is Al-Araf, and I think that's it's right there on my tongue. Up on the heights? Is it the heights? I think it is.
I think it is the heights, seven, because Surah 7 is actually, with the insight of Imam Muhammad, is actually, there's a relationship in terms of the mirage. The mirage, is the ascension in terms of, the seven levels. I mean, so seven has to do with 11, with the elevation, actually, in terms of the soul and the intellect, but it, like I say, it's so very, that's just a connection here with the number seven.
Yes.
All of these numbers actually represent something. Our scholarly imam, Kazim Ahmed, Rahim Allah Anhu, he once did something very scholarly. He took the whole of the 114 surahs, and he produced a master narrative, starting with Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. I have it in my archives somewhere around here, but I think I'm just going to, summons one of his wives, maybe Nadia Ahmed, and see if I can get her to actually send it to me. Here on AM 360 radio, I know it was done at least once, maybe twice, but once for sure, in the early days on IWDM radio, but AM 360 radio. And is a beautiful narrative how he connects each one of the surahs to the next surah. It's like in a narrative, like a story, from the first one, Al-Fatiha, to the last surah of the Quran, which is Al-Nas, the humankind, which is the 114th surah. So it kind of, those who like to pursue something like that, so that it becomes entrenched in your memorization of that, that would be a good way. But until we get to that point, I think that it's just befitting to give the Islamic terminology. But see, just like the first five ayats, if that question was being asked, what would be the answer? What surah is that called? And what number would that surah be? And what is it called? Do people know that it has two names?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking that question myself. The first five ayats that came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would that be called? I mean, what would be the number first? And then what would it be called in the iconic era Bia? Do anybody know?
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, there goes
yes,
Sister Muhammad. Go ahead, Sister Muhammad.
Surah 96, Iqra.
Okay, Iqra. And that's 96, and she's correct. It's also called Al-Alaq.
What is
Al-Alaq?
It?
Al-Alaq.
Right.
It's called, as Sister Muhammad is correct, it is called Surah Iqra, but it's also called Al-Alaq. And Alaq, you know, it's actually there because when we read it in the first five ayahs, as you well know, Allah revealed to His Rasul, His Messenger, read in the name of your Lord who creates, who created the human being from a drop of congealed blood, aleph, that, you know, that is adhering. See, that is adhering. At that time, over 1,400 years, 1,445 years, I think it is now, to be exact, in this year, 2024, in the Gregorian calendar, yeah, babies were being born, but they didn't have that type of knowledge or insight, so we know it was revelation. We know it was revelation. They did not know in terms of the conception and to be able to scientifically give you that. As we now have given names to that, as a lot taught the names and nature of things, that when that sperm fertilizes the egg and the ovary of the mother, that first name that is given is a zygote, but it's adhering to the uterus of the mother. So this is Allah. You know, Imam Muhammad gave us great insight in terms of those ayat. He said, first he says, read in the name of your Lord who creates. He said, that's the general creation. So he's instructing his Rasul to read the creation. The Quran was not yet here. See, but now you have to look at the historical context. The Prophet Muhammad was living in a time of jahiliyyah, which means deep darkness, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered his heart. Take note of that. It bothered his heart. Just think, if something ever bothers your heart, you know it ain't right, but you can't figure out, well, what can be done? What is the answer to this here? But his nature was a pristine nature. He never lost his original nature, so he never participated in the practice of the ignorant, the jahiliyyah. That's what is called from the New Shahada. The term is jahiliyyah, meaning ignorance, in darkness. But even in that time, if you go back in world history, the whole of the world was seen and it was labeled as the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages, when you see in Rome and all, there was just a lot of savagery that was in the world, the Dark Ages. So the first revelation that comes to really enlighten the intellect and the heart. The heart is, you know, the heart was really, is what? The heart being the representing the pure intention and motivation. The prophet resigned himself to the cave, you understand, to just think and to meditate and maybe to pray, you know, for, you know, to get some type of answer that what bothered his heart. I mean, what bothered his sensitivity. Just think, you know, you're looking at baby girls that are being born that was buried alive. Just think, if you and I was living in that time, would that bother your heart? If you hadn't lost your human sensitivity, I think so. You know, for what did they do to be buried in that regard? And they were not seen as on the same level as if a boy was being born. And there was other things that was being done that was in darkness. So the first revelation is read in the name of your Lord who creates. And that's alcoholic. As we say, you know, in terms of one of the 99 known attributes. So Allah is instructing his messenger to read my creation, the one who creates. That's alcoholic. That's one of the names of Allah. Read my natural creation. And we know the prophet said he couldn't read. I want to give some other information, but it'd take too long, so I won't do that now, but maybe at a later date. But then he says, who created? Now he's coming from the general to the Pacific in terms of the human being. Who create the human being from a drop of congealed blood that's clinging. It's clinging. They didn't know that at that time. We know it now. And now you understand, after years and years and years of study, to see the formation of the human being once the sperm fertilizes the egg and the natural development going from a zygote, you understand, to a fetus, what's in between that? when I start with an M. Yeah, brain freeze, yeah. Help me out here, the priest.
Okay, what were you saying?
From a zygote, and then what's the second stage was that starts with an M. Can't think of it now. But anyway.
What are you trying to come up with, babe?
Oh, embryo. Excuse me. From a zygote to a, I said M. I'm doing an E. From a zygote to an embryo, and we learned that it only becomes almost like after 3 months, somewhere before the technology and everything that you could be able to discern that there's actually pregnancy. Because at the end of 3 months, it moves from an embryonic stage to a fetus stage. This is when now the formation of the body parts begin to form. It looks different as a zygote. And then the graduation from a zygote to an embryonic stage, still not looking like anything of a human being. But then in the next 6 months, the gestation and maturation of that life now manifests itself in terms of a fetus, and you begin to see the formation of body parts, you see. So even in our time, you just think about even in 20th century time, you see, when we were born, even when my children, the older ones, they were, older children were born, they didn't have what they call the ultrasound to be able to determine what would be the gender or the sex of that child. You just had to wait. Baby was born, and then you start the boy buying blue, girls buying pink. But then, you know, at that time, you know, even Pampers hadn't come out, because my earlier, older children, I remember buying diapers. No Pampers, diapers, you see. So I'm just saying that in the natural evolution of that, and then Allah says to his Rasul, read, and your Lord is most bountiful, meaning that ain't no limit on what he has created. You see, no limit on what he has created. So this means that you're going to get abundance if in fact that you follow him. Then it goes on to say, who taught the man, the human, the use of the pen. Why is that important? Because Allah was the first pen. He was the first one to write in creation. You see, because he was the one. But he's teaching the human being the use of the pen so that you can record what it is that you read. You see, when you read, and Allah bless you to read, now you have to record what you read, because you're not going to be here forever. So this is how you understand in terms of even the scientist, as he called, Imam Muhammad called the scientist, is the scientist, to see into this, to see into this, to see into this, the scientist. The scientist is a tool that allowed, where you had the thinker, you had what is called the seer, before you had prophets and you had messengers. And of course, you can go and study Egyptian history, whereas they were already utilizing what it was that they were able to see or observe in Allah's natural creation. That's why the seven wonders of the world. Of course, they call Stevie Wonder the eighth wonder of the world. But they're still wondering, how did they build those pyramids back there?
Yes.
And they didn't have the modern technology nor tools. Well, they studied natural creation. How did man come to civilization in constructing human society? They studied natural creation. I could go on and on with this here in terms of natural creation. So this is how Allah is, you know, revealing to Prophet Muhammad, his Rasul, in that regard. And he taught man what he was not yet knowing. All of that, you understand, That's the five verses. But all you have to do is just sometimes just sit in solitude and just read those five verses and just reflect and open up your mind and heart. You know, just open your mind and heart. Ask Allah for to increase you. This is my dua every day. I ask Allah to increase me in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your words, your will, and your way, that I could be a better servant unto you by performing the work that would be pleasing to you and your cause. Allah will open that up to you. But you have to, it's like it used to say in Christianity, it said, be still. Be still. Yeah. Especially in the morning, it's so still and so quiet. And find the time, it's early in the morning. You understand, the sun hasn't even risen. If you just be still and open up your Quran, or just like those five verses, most everybody knows those. I mean, at least the seasoned believers or Muslims do. And I'm just saying to the new Shahadas, read that. Go to Surah 96, as Sister Muhammad said. It's called, depending on who's the translator, you might see Surah Iqra. You might see Surah Alaq, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But to know, you understand that that represents something in the surah, which is congealed blood clinging, but is also giving insight to the type of nature that the human creation would be, which is a social creature, because that's our beginning, is clinging. It has social ramification. It has social insight in regards to that. Yep. And even in the formation, the gestation period, there's an umbilical cord that ties the mother to the baby. Everything that the baby needs is coming through the mother through the umbilical cord. And then when that cord is actually cut in actually delivery, then there's milk, there's food waiting on that baby. Ain't got to go to Kroger's, ain't got to go to National, ain't got to go to Piggly Wiggly's or whatever and get man-made milk. That's the best type of milk. You understand? Alhamdulillah. I could go on. I said enough. I'm going to stop there. I said, I don't let go.
Yes, sir, Dr. Shaheed.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly. I say Rita, but I know you, Muhammad Sharif, wife, and I know your name is very similar to mine. Would you say it one more time for me, baby, your first name?
Sharifa.
Oh, Sharifa. Okay, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, bless me, remember that, because I be to call you sweetheart in a minute or either Sister Muhammad, like Brother Mark Shaheed said. But Sharifa, okay, that's beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly for your participation. Oh, I love you all so dearly. Thank you, Brother Mark, Professor Mark Shaheed, Dr. Mark Shaheed, Imam Mark Shaheed. We certainly do appreciate you, and we love you dearly. Alhamdulillah. Okay, y'all.
And I love
we go.
Dearly, too. I love you. That's right. Tell them don't start nothing now.
That's right, Brother Mark. Tell them.
Don't start nothing. Won't be. Don't start nothing. Won't be
you
nothing,
see?
Right?
On the real deal.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, my son. We're going to go. What was that, sweet?
Oh, I didn't say anything. Well, no, I just knew what you were going to say because I've heard you say it so many times. I was like, I know the priest Abdul Hadi so very well. I know what she's gonna say because she loves all of our regular listening audience. I can actually say that. And she loved for you to come on and just interact with her, and Allah has blessed her to be a good servant in terms of wanting to teach this learning lab, Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab. And, you know, when you come to something, you benefit. The old DJ I used to do a little spinning back in the day myself, and one of the old DJs used to say on the radio, he used to say, look what you would have been missing had you not been listening. So, you know, I'm saying to you tonight, look at you, what you've been missing had you not been listening. So if you learn something, and you always will learn something on the Priesthood High D production on Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, then don't keep it to yourself. You know, some of us come from an old Christian background. You know, they used to sing that old hymn, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I, and the choir said, couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, I couldn't keep it to myself. You see, I can't sing, you know, but how many, Allah bless me, be able to talk. But
you can do a lot of things, say, Brother Mark, but you can't sing, huh?
I can't. No, you got to be able to sing. I can't sing. But I remember that old hymn because it came from a Baptist background. And I remember, and I used to like that song. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, you know, once you understand the religion of Al-Islam, some of those songs had a lot of great words in them, but you are not supposed to keep it to yourself. As the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever it is that we learn, even if it's just one ayat, we're supposed to teach it. We're supposed to give it. We're supposed to give it away. So whatever it is Allah has blessed us with, that's why Allah says, spend out of that which we have provided for you. That's not always money. So if you're thinking like that when you read the Quran, Allah is not giving revelation that small. So we have to expand our thinking in terms of when we read the Quran. So if Allah says, spend out of that, that means give out of that. Is that all he blessed you with, even if it was money? Is that all he blessed you with? You see, Allah is not limited. Go back to Surah Iqra or Alaq.
Yes.
Allah says, read, and your Lord is most bountiful. What if you don't know what bountiful is? Get you a good dictionary or consult with AI. They'll tell you what bountiful means. There's no limit to what God can
give. And you know what I'm learning? I'm learning, too, because even though I'm studying, I'm trying, like I said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so much information, and I'm just now learning a lot of it myself, that you still have to go forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, go forth equipped lightly, heavily or lightly. You still got to go forth.
That's right.
So
I
don't know it all. I'm learning it. I don't mind letting everybody know I'm learning it. I appreciate you so kindly when you come on and you share, and I'm like, ooh. I'm learning. You see.
We all are students, and if we understand the religion of Al-Islam as we should understand the religion and what the Prophet has said to us, we are to be learning from the cradle. You know what the cradle is, to the grave. We start out in the cradle, and we'll end up in the grave. But in the meantime, between time, we are to be students, and we are to be studying the Quran. We are to be studying the life example of the Prophet. And for me, we need to be studying the one that Allah has blessed that was among us, the Mujaddid, our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. You see, and then what it is that we are able to be blessed with from knowledge and wisdom and understanding that Allah blesses us with, that's not a blessing just for you just to keep and sit on. But think about that. I mean, you have to do something with it. I mean, you'll be charged with that. Okay, so God has already given you instructions to spend it on that. Well, we have provided for you. Did Allah provide that for you? Or did you provide it for yourself? You had to ask yourself that question. And the answer is easy. No, Allah. Now, one of the known attributes is Al-Razak. What does Al-Razak mean?
I got another
Al-Razak means the provider. I stop. As-salamu alaykum, I stop.
We love you.
The provider. As-salamu alaykum.
It's all right.
You got me fired up.
You don't want to come out of me, Brother Mark.
You got me fired up.
Yes, okay.
You got me fired up.
Where's my calling? I'm gonna get you. I think I know. Oh, it is. Okay. Thank you so kindly, Brother Mark. I'm gonna grab my other caller here right quick here. 914. 434. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Muhammad calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know,
I'm sorry, Brother Muhammad. I couldn't help it. She fired me up like that. I'm signing off.
I don't know. You've been fired up before. You know? I just found out. You just told us a few minutes ago how long you've been fired up. Did you say you were a DJ at one time?
Well, yeah. I went classify myself as a real, but I did some, it was called spinning back in the day.
Okay, gotcha. He's been spinning for a long time. This is that's right. Now we know where he come from. That's a long time ago. How long ago that was when you used a spinner on DJ?
But I was not part of that group called the Spinners.
No, not the group.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Going on, Brother Muhammad Sharif, go right on with your question or comment that you wanted to make.
Oh, yeah, that's a comment I wanted to make that we listened to Mark for a long time. We know that comes from a long background there that he was used to be a DJ at one time.
Well, I let my secret out here on AM360, but they do say this is where your intellect is respected. And your voice is protected, so I hope it's protected, Muhammad Sharif.
It's protected. Yeah, keep it in the house.
Keep it in. And like I say, like my grandmother used to say, Muhammad Sharif, whenever she would say something to us as children and everything, and she considered to be personal and private. Now, she was from Mississippi school. She only went to the fifth grade. She said, now, you know, this is supposed to be in the house. This is Twix. This is Twix us. They ain't supposed to go out.
Yeah. Right.
She didn't
right.
say between, but her education was, I knew what she was saying, between, but she said, now, this, you know, this is in the house. She said, now, this is Twix us. They ain't supposed to go out. That's all I say is Twix us. I don't care if you say something, Muhammad Sharif, it don't matter to me, you know, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that my life is not spinning now.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Allah.
Okay, I'm going to play a couple of, did you have anything else, Brother Muhammad Sharif, that you wanted to share there?
No, that was it. That was it for me. That was it.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sharif. I know you were going to pick up on something like that.
Alhamdulillah.
And your wife is very studious. She's very, very studious. She's reading
that.
Yeah, and she's very studious. And that's what all of us should do. You know, we want the guys, when we recite our Fatiha 17 times, so you make your five obligatory farz salat, you understand, we're actually asking for guidance. Imam Muhammad said that's ayat 4, indina sirata mustaqim. This is one of the things that makes our Fatiha, not only is it is in the Quran and Tafsir Quran, Bil Quran, that the clear explanation of the Quran by the Quran is the best. Allah tells us about Al-Fatiha being the seven most often repeated verses. The seven often repeated verses is relating to the opening surah, Al-Fatiha, meaning the opening. But ayat 4, ending our Sirata Mustaqim, it makes it a dua. And how we define dua? A dua is a request or asking Allah for something. And then the ayat right behind it is Imam Muhammad. He told us he studied Al-Fatiha for 25 years. In his class, we had to study it for 4 months. So right behind Indina Sirata Mustaqim, in asking and requesting, guidance to stay on the straight path in every aspect of our life, then it becomes Indina Sarata Musa King, Sarata Ladina, and Anta the Him. You know, not, excuse me, that's not correct. That's not correct. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we are asking, yeah, the straight path, that's the straight path, but we are asking for the path that God has given his favors upon. I mean, his favors mm-hmm. upon. So that becomes what it is that Allah gives us, what it is that we're seeking in his aid, you know, when we ask, you understand, Iyaka na abudu wa Iyaka nasta'im. It is only you, Allah, that we worship. It is only you that we serve. And Imam Muhammad said, it's only you that we work for. It is only you that we seek aid and assistance and help from. So he said that was number four, I'm sorry, and number five was Indina Sarata Musa King. I made a mistake in that regard. He said number four, he said it's number four. He made it number four. He said because that is to come from the heart. That is to come from the heart. That's the core of Al-Fatiha. The core of Al-Fatiha is Iyaka na abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And he said, you get that from the first three. The first three is like I was saying to Teresa Hadi in terms of how you can only know Allah indirect through his natural creation, but also through revelation. So when you study Al-Fatiha, start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, one. I'm giving it to you how Imam Muhammad gave it to us. He said that's the first stop. Then he said he combined, you'll hear some imams will say these are two ayats. Imam Muhammad combined them into one. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, two, second stop. Maliki Yawmiddin, third stop. Iyaka na abudu wa iyaka na sta'in, fourth stop. And no, number four is the middle number in seven. So you got one, two, three. And then you got four. And then you got three that's coming after that. And it's all relating to the Sarata Musa King. And, you know, so the rest of you could just sit and study that. But when you look at it from that point, you'll say, wow, Imam Muhammad, if you don't believe he was the Mujaddid, we don't need to have our African brothers come all the way from the Senegal. And when they had that big meeting down in Orlando last year, they came here and said, Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad is the Mujaddid. I hope that those of us that's in the association and we are students of Imam Muhammad, we come to the realization of that because he did revive and restore the religion. His name tells us who he is. Should be no secret. His name is Wafiuddin Muhammad, the inheritor of the religion in terms of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I stopped there. You got me fired up, Sister DePriester. You just got me. And then Muhammad Sharif comes on and fired me up even more. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, Malcolm, you were saying about my wife being studious, right?
Yeah, she's very studious. She's reading the Quran. She's studying the Quran. She's very studious. And, you know, this is a beautiful thing in this association. That's why we shouldn't be looking across the water in the east and everything. There's still Muslim countries over there that be denying women the opportunity to go to Salat to Jummah and all of that and not thinking that they should really be given equal opportunity and study. One day I'm going to do the rights of women on my platform, IWDM Radio. That's one of the rights. Women and children, all of us are supposed to be free and entitled to learn this religion. The mother is the first teacher and leader. Allah gave her that honor and distinction. So, yes, you know, so that's very important. Yes, she's very studious, Brother Muhammad. You are blessed to have such a studious and committed, devoted, you understand, that is a servant to Allah, because you can't really serve Allah being ignorant, not knowing. I mean, you got to know, be able to teach. You can't teach what you don't know.
We probably don't have too much time, but I want why I brought that up, because I don't know if y'all have been to the United Nations. Have anyone been to the United Nations? We went to the United Nations a few weeks ago, a month ago maybe. They got tours. Look like every hour there's somebody coming going on a tour of the United Nations. And we got this one point, and the tour guide asked a question, and my wife answered that question. There are people there from all over the world. And then we got 25 people.
Alhamdulillah, Akbar. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just heard that I'm able to pick up on those who are studious and they constantly learning all the time, and they don't mind sharing with others. That's when it's a blessing. I used to teach my children, a blessing is not a blessing until you share it with others, because whatever Allah bless you with, you know, you're supposed to give it away. You only get to keep what you give away. You give away knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You thank Allah for that. You know, Allah is the one. He's the source for us, you understand, getting that guidance in our life. And then opportunity avails itself, just like the opportunity avails itself there at the United Nations. Question was asked. Your wife knew the answer. She gave it freely. See, so that's what it is we got to do. This is coming from the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. We can go anywhere, just like Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he jumped up in 1972 after being sick, and they thought they were going to get him for the third time, three strikes, you out. That song goes, three strikes, you out.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad jumped up to his feet and said, that's it. He said, my son said he can take that anywhere in the world. He can take it anywhere in the world. And looked at his wife. That's the same year that Sister Clara Muhammad, the Honorable First Lady, mother of our community, that she passed. But Allah blessed her to live long enough. And whether y'all want to accept it or not, they was the first two to support their son at that time, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, in terms of being the new leader. And after his father transitioned, that approval of his father and his mother at that table, at they call the National House, that he can take that message anywhere in the world. Clara, isn't that what we've been waiting for? She smiled and she said, yes, that's what we've been waiting for.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you to the preacher for giving us this time, because we just took all the program, right? Thank you.
I'm sorry, Sister DePreza. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't.
Brother Mike Shaheen, I'm going to tell the audience and ideal audience, please tune in again next week to hear Imam W.D. Muhammad, Mike Shaheen, and Sister Sharifa Muhammad and Sharif Muhammad. Please tune in again next week at Islam and Focus Learning Lab, starting at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so kindly.
You're welcome.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. All right. I do appreciate you all. I really do. And we're going to go from here, and I'm going to give a PSA, and then I'm going to close us out. And may Allah bless us all with a fantastic upcoming week and the Jumu'ah Mubarak, and prayers and duas made for the homeless. May Allah suffice them and their families and to what they need, to give them shelter and food and bring their families whole. Those that are ill, may Allah bless them to a speedy recovery. As though that they have never had that illness before, and we say to that, I mean, and may Allah bless those that have returned to him of our loved ones with his mercy and forgiveness in paradise, I mean, and we pray that he bless us as their loved ones being still yet here to get all this information we got this evening, everybody, and have peace and patience. Thank you so kindly.
I mean,
that's what I'm
the priest, is it okay for me to let them know that this is African American slash Black slash Balalian slash Ethnic History Month? And I just wanted to say that the MGM Roundtable, which I host on our sister station, IWDM Radio, we will be having very distinguished, esteemed guests. And so the first guest that we'll have is one of our learned imams, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, Noor Islamic Center, who's a very distinguished, esteemed author, the man behind the man. And I'll be dialoguing with him come this Wednesday on IWDM Radio, 714-816-4673. Please tune in. It will be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time there on IWDM Radio. I won't take up any more time in terms of the other, you know, productions, but just being conscious that this is African-American history. I could never do that without having somebody from our community talking about our story and what has come about, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the impact that he's had over these four men in his leadership. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow. Everyone, thank you so kindly.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And
that's
I would like to invite
right?
you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And I didn't forget y'all. Hugs and love to you. And I look forward to seeing you, inshallah, next week.
There's no Jesus, sing it for me. Down to us.